up to where we're going this evening, we'd simply like to talk about the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13 and in verse 15, the Bible says, "By him," now the context here is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, when you read the passage of Scripture here in the greater context, we realize that starting back in verse number 10, the Bible is talking about how we have an altar. This altar is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he suffered, bled, and died on Calvary's cross, he made the way for you and I, the new and living way, where we now have access directly to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. He is our altar. And by him, by Jesus Christ, the altar, because of this sacrifice, we can offer up praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Now, just to understand a few things about this type of offering, because, again, the book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish people, the Hebrews, and they had an understanding of all of the different ceremonies and all of the different sacrificial days and offerings. And so we kind of connect it with the Thanksgiving offering. So turn back in the Scriptures to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 7. Again, this will all be by way of introduction to get us going. Leviticus chapter 7. You see, a lot of what we think may be praise today, in our day and age, it's not praise. A lot of what we see people doing when they are supposedly worshiping God, it's not accepted by God. If your doctrine is incorrect, your worship is. If your doctrine is invalid, your worship is incorrect. Or vice versa, the same thing goes. God had a specific, I don't want to say plan, but he had a specific understanding of how the children of Israel, how his people were to come before him, how they were to present themselves before him, and offer offerings of sin offerings and peace offerings and burnt offerings and thanksgiving offerings and wave offerings and all these different kinds of offerings. And if they were to go about doing it wrong, God wouldn't accept it. Leviticus 7, this is a great big passage here talking about just the different trespass offerings and peace offerings. But it says here in verse 12, we'll read the words of the thanksgiving offering. It says, verse 12, "If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes, mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers, anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, of fine flour fried." That's pretty specific. God was specific there about how he wanted the thanksgiving offering to be offered. Now turn over to chapter 22 here in Leviticus. As we deepen our study, Leviticus 22. And let's go over to verse 29. Again, here, this is a whole passage of just different laws and ordinances and feasts and so forth. And it says here, verse 29, "And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will." This is important because we're going to come back to this a little later. Offer it at your own will. So the thanksgiving offering was offered at my own will. It wasn't something that was to be commanded. You cannot command somebody to praise and thank God, though the commands are given in the Scriptures. You see, what we're going to understand is that a heart that is overwhelmed with God's mercy and his goodness and his grace, and we see how vile and wretched we are in his eyes, and we understand how good and merciful he's been to us, and how he has blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and we see the great provision that he gives us in his power and the pardon, we just sing praise. Our heart is overjoyed, and as our Lord said, "For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." It's interesting, the very first song or singing that we read about in the scriptures, it's about thanksgiving. And where is it found? It's found in Exodus 15, in verse 1 and following, that whole chapter there. And they are singing because of the redemption that they had. That's, if you're familiar, Exodus 12 was the Passover. Children of Israel left Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They got to the other side. And then they had the song there of Moses and Miriam. And their hearts were just, they wanted to thank God because of what he did. You see, Psalm 40, you may be familiar with it. What does it say? It says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You see, the praise that we have for God comes from the salvation that we found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from redemption. When our feet have been established upon that rock and we see where he has brought us from and how he has lifted us up out of this miry clay, we praise him. We thank him. We give this sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. Even praise unto our God, as it says. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Here is a whole book of praise, amen, in the book of Psalms. David, many times, pouring his heart out to God in thanksgiving. In Psalm 95, we're singing. And who are we singing to, and why are we singing? That's a good thing to ask, huh? What's the motive today for most of the people that want to get up and sing their songs? Their praise, their worship, is it for him or is it for others? Psalm 95, verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Amen. We're singing to the one who saved us. Amen. You see, before the children of Israel and before you and I and before many others that we read about in the scriptures could ever sing and offer up thanksgiving, there had to be a sacrifice. Something took place whereby we saw God intervene on our behalf, where God, we know, offered up himself. Before there would be an offering of thanksgiving, there would be a sin offering. And we read about that in the book of Leviticus. Before you and I can come to the throne to offer up our praise and thanksgiving, we must first come to the altar. You see, it's impossible for the lost man to worship God acceptably, to offer anything to him, because he has nothing in and of himself to offer. And you know what? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. We are nothing. The only thing I have. Remember when we preached this morning about Mephibosheth? What could he do? He was lame in his feet. But he could still come and sit and fellowship at that table. He could still offer up thanksgiving to the one who lifted him up out of that horrible position he found himself in. You see, it's only in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can offer acceptable sacrifices, because man is unclean, unable, and undone. He cannot approach God without a sacrifice. Our own merits, our own works of righteousness are as filthy rags. Proverbs 15 and verse 8 says, the sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination. It's an abomination. It makes God sick. Why are you even offering this up? I will not accept it at your hands. You go through and you read in the Old Testament, towards the close there in the book of Malachi, where they're trying to worship and they're trying to offer, and God says, listen, I hate your new moons. I hate your Sabbath days. I hate your feasts. Your sacrifices, I won't accept them. You're bringing me the lame. You're bringing me that which is blemished. He said, offer it to your governor. See if he'll accept it. You see, man, as he tries to approach God or bring any type of offering, it's not accepted unless it's the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only acceptable sacrifice. That's why Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's why it says there is one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. It's only about him, through him, in him, do we find acceptance to offer the sacrifice of praise. For your lips to offer the sacrifice of praise, your heart must be cleansed. God doesn't want to hear the sacrifice of praise. He wants to hear the repentant cry out for mercy to be saved. He wants to hear the confession. Man is a sinner and in need of a sacrifice. We know this. We've heard this. We understand this. We cannot come before him. We cannot speak of him. We cannot offer these things until our heart has been cleansed. The Bible says that our works are as filthy rags. And anything that we think is good, God, will you accept this? God, will you accept that? No, what does he accept? The sacrifice of his Son. Two more places. Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew 15. Look at what Jesus says here. In Matthew 15. Matthew 15, and we're going to look at verse 9. Sorry, I lost my place here. Let me get there. Matthew 15. Look at what Jesus says in verse 9. But in vain, well, let's start in verse 7. Ye hypocrites, he's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, those that had a form of religion, but denied the power of God. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What is God interested in? He's interested in your heart. He wants those words to come from a heart that has been touched. But he goes on to say in verse 9, but in vain they do worship me. That word vain and vanity, it means empty, without substance. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, we'll look at verses 13 and 14. Romans 3, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says this. Let's look at 13. Let's start in 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the lost man. This is the man whose heart has never been cleansed. This is the man who has never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. How can he bring anything acceptable to God? Do you remember back in Isaiah when he had his vision and he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up and the angels or the seraphims back and forth singing, holy, holy, holy. And he said, woe is I, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. And they took a coal from where? From off the altar. And he touched his lips. He laid it upon his mouth. And he said, thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. That's how our iniquity is taken away. That's how our sin is purged, from the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God is a broken and contrite heart. The Bible says, O God, thou wilt not despise it. You see, the fat of 1,000 rams is not as sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord as a repentant sinner who's broken under the weight of his sin, who's calling upon his name to be saved. This is a sweet-smelling savor. This is what God accepts. And so, hopefully we're getting an understanding here as we look through the Scriptures, this idea of this sacrifice of praise unto God continually, that the fruit of our lips. This is what I am to offer to God. So number one, what we see first is to offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, we must first offer our heart. Because we know that God's not going to accept it if our heart hasn't been accepted. If we have not been saved. If we have never been to the altar with blood, His blood, that's been shed for us. If we have never been cleansed, then we cannot offer a sacrifice of praise. Only by Him, it says there in our text, Hebrews 13, if you'll turn back there and see with me again in verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. By who? By Christ. By Him. Because again, it's only by Christ that I can be accepted in the eyes of God the Father. Christ's shed blood makes me acceptable. Christ's sacrifice makes me acceptable. I can now stand before Almighty God, not in of myself, but because of Christ. And when God sees me, He sees Christ. You see, His atonement opened up a new and living way, it says in the Scriptures here, in the book of Hebrews. Man can now offer praise directly to God, not through a mediator. He is the only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Our altar is Christ Himself, and our offerings are the adoration of our hearts and the devotion of our lives. And it's only by Him. Amen. It's all about Christ. And it's always all about Christ. Number two, we offer up the sacrifice of praise. We must offer up our life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. You know, the Scriptures teach that we've been bought with a price. Romans chapter 12, turn there. The Scriptures teach us that we've been bought with a price, therefore we are to glorify God with our body, which is His, it says. It belongs to Him. I've been bought with the price. What was the price? The price was His shed blood. Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, we're talking about this sacrifice right now, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. God's telling us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, first and foremost. Acceptable unto God. How can it be acceptable unto God? By Jesus Christ. Which is your reasonable service? It's just right to do this because of what He has done for you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are our minds renewed? By the reading of the Scriptures. How do I know what is acceptable unto God and what is not? My Bible tells me, amen. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to know what's good. I want to know what's acceptable. I want to know what's perfect. I want to fulfill my will, His will for my life, I should say. First and foremost, I must be saved. Secondly, I must surrender. I must offer my life over to Him. By the way, do you recall in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 what it says about you and I as Christians, as those who have been saved? Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, amen, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm a priest. What did priests do in the Old Testament? Because that's where we're getting the idea. They offered. You see, if I am a priest to God, I am to now offer. But what am I to offer? Well, the scriptures just told me in our text that I am to offer the sacrifice of praise. Continually, that is the fruit of my mouth. But it also goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:5 that me as a lively stone, I'm built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So listen, Christian, you have been called into the priesthood. Individuals were born into the priesthood in the Old Testament. You've been born again into the priesthood, amen. You've been adopted into this office to now offer. So then what we ought to be thinking about right now as we think about where we're at in the message and what we've heard thus far is, am I offering sacrifices acceptable to God? In everything that I do, in everywhere that I go, whether on the job, whether in the home, whether at church, whether out in the community, is my sacrifice acceptable? Is it well-pleasing unto God? That which I do with my life, my walk, my talk, my attitude, my affections, my attention, where is it? Is it on things of this earth, or is it risen with Christ? Colossians 3:1 says. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. A verse that should just really drive this point home to us. 1 Peter chapter 4. You see, as a Christian individual, I have been changed, have I not? God has rearranged some things in my life. I don't go the places I used to go, amen. I don't do the things I used to do. Life is new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What am I to do with this life now that God has given me? Look at this in 1 Peter 4 and verse 2. Wait, this isn't my verse, is it? Let's see. 1 Peter 4, 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Yes, this works. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. That's how we used to live. That's what we used to do. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. There was a way that we used to live. There was a person that we used to be. But remember, that person is now dead. This person is the one who now is alive in Christ Jesus, who has been given this office as a priest to now offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. That I am now to live no longer to the lusts of men and to the flesh, but I am to live to the will of God. Remember that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what is that for your life? What does that look like? What is it for my life? Listen, we're Christians. We're to be ambassadors. What about that office? We're representing our King in his country, in his people, to a lost and dying world. We are to be witnesses. We are to as Isaiah did, after that coal touched his lips, and the Lord said, you know, who are we going to send? And he said, Lord, here am I, send me. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How can I repay this debt, though we can't repay it? How can I show my gratitude for what you have done for me? Well, he tells us in Hebrews 13:5, offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. Give him your life, amen. Offer it up. Nothing is more pleasing than a renewed heart on the altar as a living sacrifice. Remember, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is going to feel the heat sometimes. A living sacrifice, but it's not my will, but thine be done. They used to bind those sacrifices to the altar. Lord, bind me to the altar. Let me offer my life as a sacrifice unto you. Let God be God. Let Him be your all. Let Him be first and foremost in your life. Give of your best to the Master. Thanksgiving is seen in thanks living, amen? And so if I want to offer up thanksgiving to God, I need to start living like it, amen? So we see here, number three, to offer up the sacrifice of praise, we offer our lips. The legitimate way of worshiping God under the new covenant. He's not asking you to bring turtle doves and pigeons and rams and calves and all of those other things to sacrifice. To show that you have, you know, you've sinned, you want to offer up a sin offering, or you want to offer up a thanksgiving offering, or you want to offer up a peace offering. No, listen, I can just go right to Him and I can open my mouth and I can ask for forgiveness of my sin. And He is faithful and just to forgive me of that sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I can go right to Him and I can offer up the peace offering. I can offer up a praise offering because I have that access through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, not only our life, but our lips are to be used to offer praise and thanksgiving unto God. Turn with me to Psalm 103. So have you offered up the sacrifice of praise recently? Is your life a living sacrifice? You see, we give thanks unto God for His unspeakable gift. If you have been blessed, then bless back, amen? That saying that people use, you know, God bless America, America bless God, you know? Hey, Christian. First off, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation? Or have you just made an intellectual assent to the facts and you're just going through the motions and your heart has never been touched? You're worshiping in vain. It's unaccepted by God. You need an altar, amen? You need the blood sacrifice on your behalf. You need to trust Him from your heart. And then you can come to Him anytime, any place, anywhere, and you can bow before your Master and offer up that praise. We need to praise Him for who He is and what He has done. Look at here in Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 104, look at the first verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All throughout the Scriptures we read it, amen? Especially here in the book of Psalms. Bless Him. Bless Him. Well, how do I do that? Well, first I need to have an altar. My heart has to be touched or it's not going to be accepted. I have to have the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I need to offer up my life. I need to live a life of thanksgiving, thanks living, amen? And then I need to just thank Him for what He has done. Let's just look at a couple more places here. We can praise Him, amen? We can praise Him in the sanctuary. You can praise Him at the house. You can praise Him on the job. You can praise Him in prayer. Look at here in the book of Philippians. Turn there. Praise Prayer is asking and receiving, amen. But it should also come with thanksgiving. There's a little, how do you say that, acrostics? Acts for prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Adoration, acknowledge Him, who He is. Is not that what it says in the model prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Confession. Confess your sins to Him. Know that you're unworthy to offer up anything outside apart from what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Then T, thanksgiving. Give Him thanks for what He's done, for what He will do, for what He's going to do. And then S, supplication. Pray. Amen. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Philippians 4. What does it say here in verse 6? Be careful for nothing. That's that word careful, old English word translated anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, if you're going to go and you're going to start bringing Him your list of things that you want to see Him do, thank Him for what He's already done, amen? Thank Him with thanksgiving. Colossians 4. Just a page or two over. Colossians 4. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Amen? So it's connected with prayer. We see it throughout the Scriptures. Prayer and thanksgiving. They go hand in hand. Listen, whether you praise Him in prayer, whether you praise Him in the prison, Paul and Silas at midnight saying praises unto God, even when they were bound in fetters. Praise Him in everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What does it say here in verse 18? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Romans 12, verse 2, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is talking about the will of God. So what is God's will for me? To give thanks. How do I give thanks? By Christ Jesus, because of what He's done. It says in everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. Job, what happened? We mentioned a little bit about that this morning. You lost everything. But he fell down, worshipped, and gave thanks to God. Said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Joseph, what about you? You were betrayed by your brethren. You were sold into slavery. You were lied about for the false accusations and put in prison. He could still give thanks. At the end of it, he saw that God was in it all. David gives thanks. Jesus gives thanks. Paul gives thanks. All throughout the Scriptures, we find individuals giving thanks in everything. But our text says this. What does it say? We're almost done here. I'm watching the clock. Amen. Hebrews 13, what does it say? Verse 15. It says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. What does that mean, continually? All the time, amen? All the time, continually, over and over again. It's not restricted to the time or to the place. You see, the Jew, he would have to go to the temple. He would have to go to the tabernacle, depending on what time it was. We don't have to do that. You don't have to wait until you come to the church house to sing Him a song of praise or to give Him thanks. Amen. We are the temple of God, it says. Know ye not that Christ is in you? 1 Corinthians 6 tells us. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. To praise continually requires daily communion. We must daily find ourselves in fellowship with God the Father. And we can only maintain that fellowship with God the Father, how? through the Son, through the sacrifice, because of His shed blood, because of His righteousness, I can confess and repent, and I can be back in fellowship with God, and I can continue praising Him for who He is, for what He has done in my thank offering. You see, in closing here, the thank offering in the Old Testament was some sort of animal, oftentimes a dead animal. In the New Testament, it's called the fruit of our lips. It says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips. This is living, is it not? This is a living and breathing being right here. And we know Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I need to ask myself, what am I saying? What are others hearing? Are they hearing a sacrifice of praise unto God? Or am I continually murmuring and complaining about my lot in life? Am I slandering? Am I gossiping? Am I speaking about doubts and fears and failures? Am I speaking about gloom and doom? Or do I have better speech than that? Do I have Bible speech? Amen. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. Is it praise unto God? Is it thanking Him for what He's done, for who He is? You see, others are going to learn a lot about our God by how we speak about Him and by how we live. What are they seeing? What are they hearing? You see, for the Jew, the sacrifice was to be without blemish, without spot, no sickness, not lame. The Bible talks about that extensively. For the New Testament believer, it should be no different, right? Be ye holy, for I am holy, He said. A holy sacrifice. Remember Romans 12? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So can I offer up tonight a sacrifice of praise to God? Has God been accepted with my sacrifice today? What about the way I lived all last week in front of my employees or employer, in front of my fellow classmates or in front of my family or out in the community, whatever it may be, whoever you are? Or do we need to tonight repent and make some things right and offer up that thanksgiving? Maybe you haven't offered up the fruit of your lips recently and just thanked Him for what He's done, for everything He has given you. Not only that you just find in salvation the forgiveness of sins and the new lease on life and the peace of God and the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, but the home in heaven, the inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that's waiting for you. How about you tonight? Do you have something to thank Him for? It's a great opportunity. Let's go ahead and stand this evening. So our pianist comes forward. We'll have a time of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart this evening, I pray that you would respond. How can you respond? By Jesus Christ, amen. You can't come up here in and of yourselves. You need to come with Him. You need to bring Him. He is your altar. He is your sacrifice. He is your mediator. Offer up that praise tonight, would you? Brother, what number do we have?
Page 212.
Page 212, if you'd like to follow along. Page 212.